Yeah, yeah, yeah. Making her way to the mic. They start dimming the lights. You start feeling alright. From Birmingham, home of the Teddy Longs and the room and stutters. More once you discover. For all of the lovers, Whitney Houston and Roman Reigns. For all of the lovers, and Mickey James and Marvin Gaye. For all of the lovers, and Sasha Banks, Janelle Monae, Silk, Sonic, and Paige. Allow me to say. Look, I just found a place, sweet escape. For every one of us, I was kinda late. Cause I just made it off the struggle bus. Walking by the fate, cause I know it's right in front of us. Yo, I ain't with the hate, gotta focus on what's great. Ladies and gentlemen, Steph Hardy is on the air. Had to drop a couple bars just to make you all aware. So, sit back, relax, enjoy the show. You know, I go by Joe or the Resto.
Hey y'all, welcome to a new episode of the Hardy Wrestling Podcast with your girl Stephanie Hardy. Of course, if this isn't your first time listening, thank you for continuing to support this fabulous platform as well as me and my wrestling journey. And if this is your first time listening and or watching live wherever you are watching from, thank you for joining the vibe and I hope you continue on this wrestling journey with me. Of course, I'm here to give you the latest and greatest in news and gossip-ish, what I enjoyed in wrestling this week, and of course to talk about the rest of my Survivor Series War Games experience. Now, of course, I did have a past episode where I did talk about the return of CM Punk as Survivor Series War Games, but it only felt right to talk about the pay-per-view as a whole, as opposed to just talking about the CM Punk of it all, which a lot of people have been doing in wrestling media. And it does make sense because nobody was expecting this at all. But since the entire pay-per-view happened before that one big moment, it only made sense for me to talk about it all and how I felt about the events of it and what's set to come afterwards. So I'm going to be talking about that. I'm really excited to be on this episode. I want to try to do more normal episodes of the Hardy Wrestling Podcast as much as I can, along with the other shows that I'm doing, because I am quasi building a network. It's pretty crazy to think about how this is just coalesced. But either way, I'm going to try and do normal episodes of the Hardy Wrestling Podcast as much as I possibly can. Because life is life, man, but as long as wrestling is wrestling, I am going to be here. So for those who are watching on YouTube, on Facebook, on Twitter, and wherever, and on Twitch, thank you so much for watching live. And of course, you can watch this episode and listen to this episode later once it is posted on all of the platforms you can listen to podcasts on, as well as the YouTube channel. Like, share, subscribe, and of course, share as this episode goes on. And I just hope you're having an amazing weekend. So of course, we're going to get into the news and gossip-ish because there is definitely a lot to get into. So yeah, I can't wait to get into all of it now. So this is news and gossipish. And of course, we have to start with what's going on or what went on yesterday in the world of college football. Of course, I'm from Alabama, and so we've had a pretty tough time and a pretty crazy time when it comes to college football on today. But I won't be talking about the SEC. I will be talking about the Big 12, because WWE is having a partnership with the Big 12, and yesterday they had their championship. And because they had their championship, we're going to get more into that. But of course, since I am from Alabama and this is an Alabama podcast, I do have to give big ups to Nick Saban winning the SEC championship against Georgia, who was like the number one team in the United States. And that was a pretty intense game to watch. But of course, Titus O'Neil, a global ambassador for WWE, presented a WWE championship with the Alabama A on the side plates. So big ups to Nick Saban and the Crimson Tide for that win and for getting that belt. But like I was mentioning earlier, the Big 12 championship happened yesterday, and The Undertaker, Sheamus, Drew McIntyre, Michelle McCool, who is, of course, a wrestling legend, as well as Undertaker's wife, Samantha Irvin, and Jade Cargill were at the Big 12 game. And they were posing with the title that they were going to present to whoever won the game. And I believe Texas wound up winning the game, so big ups to them for winning. And The Undertaker presented them with the championship, and he loves Texas because that's his team and he's from there and he lives there currently, so he was able to present them with the title. And I thought that was pretty amazing for the most part to watch that game and to see how WWE logos were all over the field because they were at the AT&T Stadium, and they even had a commercial where Cody Rhodes and a lot of other wrestling personalities from WWE showed up in there because the AT&T Stadium was home to WrestleMania in Dallas in 2016, as well as the WrestleMania that took place last year where Cody Rhodes made his triumphant comeback against Seth Rollins. So it was just amazing to see everyone sort of having a good time, Jade and Samantha dancing to the Nelly halftime show, and Drew McIntyre just sort of taking it all in because, you know, he's from Scotland, and I'm sure this was just a pretty different experience for him. But it was nice to see everybody there. Then on top of that, they even, okay, and here's the pictures of Undertaker. If you're watching, these are the pictures of The Undertaker with the title and presenting it to Texas as well. And of course, they even presented a WWE championship to Nelly. Now, for those who may or may not know who Nelly is, I'm pretty sure if you don't know who Nelly is, maybe you're living under a rock. But of course, he's the rapper who made the song Hot In Here from the 2000s. And he performed a lot of his greatest hits during the halftime show. And they presented him with a WWE title. And this is a picture of Jade Cargill doing the honors. And he seemed really grateful for it, and they took a picture of it and everything. And there were some people online who were wondering, why does Nelly get a WWE championship? And I'm just like, why not? Everybody else has a WWE championship. How come he can't have one? Like, let's let people live, guys. Jesus Christ. Let people live and let people have fun. So I thought this was just a nice gesture. And of course, Texas wound up defeating Oklahoma 49-21. So like I said, congratulations to Texas. And congratulations to Nelly on an amazing halftime show with both bands and for getting a WWE title. Like, let's just let people have fun and let people live. And if he has a WWE title, then hey, that means at some point maybe he might come and do a show for us or something like that. But either way, the rap and wrestling connection continues and he has a belt. So what? It's okay. But yeah, that was cool to see yesterday. Now, in other news, we have the rumor that CM Punk could very well have a dream match with Stone Cold Steve Austin on the table. So, Fightful Select reported that some within WWE are already pushing for a Punk and Stone Cold Steve Austin match. And they're saying that it is a what if, and it's something that, you know, could be a promotion for a video game in, you know, a what if type of situation, like if you play 2K or something like that. But at the same time, they are pushing for the idea of the both of them fighting. And I thought this was really interesting considering a long time ago when both were, I guess you could, no shade, but a little bit younger, there was the idea that the both of them could fight each other because CM Punk had come out and said that Stone Cold Steve Austin was somebody that he did grow up respecting and grow up looking up to, you know, in terms of being a wrestler and being a star. And a lot of people in the wrestling fandom were sort of pushing the idea of them fighting each other. And they did have a little bit of an interview with JR a couple years back, but it never wound up happening. So the idea of them sort of pushing for it now when the both of them aren't necessarily at their greatest of powers at this point, it's just kind of interesting to me. And maybe there's a part of me that sort of feels like maybe that ship has sailed a bit, but you know, you never know what could happen because Stone Cold did have a match last year at WrestleMania, or not really a match per se, but just a segment where he was fighting with Kevin Owens. So you just never know what could happen in that aspect. But since CM Punk has returned, everybody and their mama is just sort of pinning him in different situations, in different matches with different people like him, like Roman Reigns, and even, of course, Seth Rollins, because of how, you know, their beef with each other. And it seems like they're planning planting those seeds. So you never really know. But if you are watching and if you want to comment on this and talk about who you would feel that CM Punk would be best suited to fight against in his first match, then chime in the comments. You might wind up on the screen and I'll interact with you. So yeah, that's what's going on there with the CM Punk of it all. But I did address his return in the last episode. I did call the Ballad of Saints and Pipe Bombs. So please go back and listen to that if you haven't already. This episode will not be a CM Punk heavy episode, simply because of that. So yeah. Moving on, speaking of, you also have AJ Mendez, who was mentioned on Raw this past Monday when CM Punk gave his sort of I'm back home promo that a lot of people were waiting for towards the main event of Raw. And he mentioned that a lot of people were asking about AJ Mendez, and she said that she's fabulous and to send her regards. And this is amazing for a lot of people because everyone has been gunning for AJ Mendez / AJ Lee to stage a comeback, you know, in her wrestling career in WWE for a long period of time. Even if CM Punk didn't ever come back, they were always asking for AJ. And like I had mentioned previously on another platform, I always felt that if she did come back, you know, after seeing how she performed in the Star Series Heels, I would love to see her back in the ring or in the Royal Rumble, or, you know, if she decided to go to Impact / TNA wrestling, I would be okay with that too. But a lot of people don't know that she did come back to wrestling in a different sense when she came to be the executive producer and color commentator for WOW Superheroes last season. Of course, WOW is for Women of Wrestling, and she was a pretty vibrant part of that show until her contract came up and she decided to leave. And we do definitely miss her on the show this new season, but at the same time, like, her input as a wrestling champion was valuable and really amazing. So I always felt that if she did come back to wrestling, you know, and if she did go back to WWE, it would be absolutely fantastic, and she would have dream matches such as her versus Zelina Vega, or her versus Bianca Belair, or or Charlotte Flair, or Becky Lynch, or any of the modern day girls who are there now, or her versus Liv Morgan. It would just be fantastic. But of course, nothing has been absolutely confirmed when it comes to AJ Mendez, but I would be absolutely open to seeing her make her return in WWE pretty soon. And what's so funny is a lot of people, including people in NXT, were talking about what would happen if she returned to the WWE. And Cora Jade posted a video of her freaking out about AJ. And Roxanne commented on it and said, "Remember when you ended our friendship and told me if I ever posted this video, you would incapacitate me?" And Cora Jade said, "Shut up, idiot. You're nothing without AJ." And then Roxanne replied with the same response, saying, "AJ Mendez, handle this B-word." And this was just really funny because when you think about it, all the women in NXT and the men of NXT are really just huge fans of wrestling as a whole. So to see them, you know, talk about and participate in the discourse about wrestling heroes that they have and the idea that they could come back is just absolutely amazing. Like, that would really be an X factor. What if AJ Mendez stays her comeback down in NXT? That would be amazing. That would be cool for those girls. But nothing has been confirmed yet, but it's just us playing what if. But I would definitely be open to AJ Mendez coming back to WWE the same way her husband did. And a lot of people are pushing for the Royal Rumble for her to stage her and come back, which would be amazing because a lot of legends come back there as well. So big ups to AJ Mendez and whatever it is that she chooses to do going forward. And I just love her and CM Punk as a couple. They are just the cutest. I've always loved them as a couple because they kind of had that opposites attract sort of thing. And you can tell that she definitely lights up his life. They've been married for almost 8 years now, and they are just one of my favorite wrestling couples as a whole. So big ups to the both of them and their future endeavors, because they're successful and fabulous people. Now, on a sad note, this week, there were lots of changes that happened within WWE and their company, and how everything was happening with sort of budget cuts and people being cut off of the roster. And sadly, it was announced that Mackenzie Mitchell, who was a backstage correspondent on NXT for a number of years, was released. And they didn't necessarily make the announcement, but she did on her Twitter page. She said, "Today, I was released by WWE. I met my husband, moved cross country from Connecticut to Florida for NXT, a place I've always considered home, and met friends that became like family. I've always said and firmly believe that when one door closes, another opens." And she shared a link to her website for her business, which is headlined by MackenzieMitchell.com, because she did recently open a business where she's selling jewelry. And it was a generational business that she was happy to finally, you know, invest in, because members, women in her family had previously sold jewelry before, all the way to her great grandparents. So she was happy to do that while also doing her backstage correspondent work on NXT. And a lot of the NXT stars, you know, chimed in and said that they would miss her so much, and said that, you know, and even Carmelo said, you know, "Man, you never missed. I'm definitely going to miss you." And Bayley talked about how much she's going to miss her. And of course, Vic Joseph, who is play-by-play commentator and her husband, mentioned that he loved seeing the amount of love that people were showing her on social media, and that she was his favorite tag team partner. And I am definitely going to miss her, because I just love her chemistry that she had with everyone on NXT, you know, from Lyra Valkyria to Nikita Lyons to even Lexus King and everybody. Like, I literally hate that she's not going to be on anymore, but I'm pretty sure that whatever it is that she's going to do or choose to invest the rest of her time in, like her business or anything else like that, it's going to be great. And if you did not know, she used to be on Impact a long time ago as well. So big ups to her and whatever and wherever she, you know, chooses to go next and wherever she's going to land. I hope maybe she'll get on ESPN and do a wrestling show, but you just never know. But big ups to Mackenzie Mitchell. I loved watching her, you know, in these last few years on NXT, and I'm definitely going to miss her. Hey, JD, thank you for watching on Twitch. Thank you so much for watching. And yeah, like, I'm going to miss Mackenzie, but you just can't really help those things. Jobs are gonna job, but we have to continue to be people. You know what I'm saying? Also in the news, we have the Hardy Boys. Of course, since this is the Hardy Wrestling Podcast, we can't not mention the news involving the Hardy Boys. They mentioned that they were interested in a heel run on the Extreme Life of Matt Hardy podcast, the other amazing Hardy podcast. Jeff Hardy said that he is most excited about them going heel because it's something that they haven't really done before as a team. Jeff added that going heel feels like the right thing to do at this stage in their careers, and Matt agreed. Now, of course, Matt Hardy has been a heel by himself, but like he said, they've never been a heel together. And then they also mentioned that they have been a little bit frustrated with their use on AEW so far. Matt said that creatively, just the way we've been utilized these last few months, it's been frustrating. We've been very patient, but there's been a lot of frustration with things we've done and kind of how we've been utilized in some ways. I feel like there is such a great spot for us in AEW if we're just utilized in the correct way, and we just got to get there. There's a huge fan base that wants to see us, and we're beloved. Duh. Yeah, they're totally beloved. Sure, we're not Matt and Jeff Hardy of 1999 and 2000, but there is so much we can do to help young guys continue to come up and also give our rub off to these young guys. But we just need to be utilized in the right way, and we hope we can get there, and we feel like we're taking the correct directions now. And this is really interesting how they're starting to feel this way now, because a lot of people are under the notion that they feel like, you know, the Hardy Boys should be, you know, wrapping things up, because of course they're not operating in the same quality that they used to back in the day, because of course you get older, things change, and you're not able to do all of those things that you used to do. But at the same time, you know, they want to be utilized in the way that they want to do it. And I can't say I blame them for feeling that way. So hopefully things for them in AEW can turn around creatively, and they can be used in a way that highlights their continued value as a tag team and also highlights the legacy of what they've done as a unit and even separately. Because these guys, you know, are some of the most, one of the most iconic tag teams of all time. They are absolutely legendary. And I'm not just saying that because we share last names. I'm saying that because it's true. They innovated extreme wrestling on the mainstream, and they just both have collectively, they've just innovated in different ways. Of course, with Jeff and his high flying moves, and Matt and his innovation when it comes to storytelling and cinematic matches. There's just so much that they've contributed to the wrestling business. So hopefully, you know, things will turn around for them creatively, and there will be more that they can offer as a unit. And maybe if they do turn heel, that would be interesting television. So you just never know. Also in the news, we have baby fever in the wrestling universe. Alexa Bliss and her husband Ryan Cabrera had their baby. Okay, that's not Alexa Bliss. I'm sorry, y'all. Alexa Bliss and her husband, Rockstar Ryan Cabrera, had their baby on Monday, November the 27th. They announced that her name is Hendrix Rogue Cabrera. And she also mentioned on Twitter that their daughter coincidentally being born on Jimi Hendrix's birthday is such a wonderful coincidence for me. And I just think that's so wonderful. Her and Ryan Cabrera make an astounding and beautiful couple. And I'm so happy that the baby came here safely. So shout out to them and their new daughter. And then I didn't get a chance to talk about Carmella and Corey. They had their baby boy, Dimitri, and they've shared pictures all over social media of them having photo shoots with their baby. And of course, Carmella adjusting to motherhood. And of course, this is her rainbow baby, because sadly, she did sustain 2 miscarriages before, and this pregnancy meant a lot to her, that, you know, this was going to be a healthy child, and the baby got here safely, and they seem to be enjoying, you know, parenthood, which is something that's new for Carmella, but not exactly new for Corey, because he has 2 or 3 other children from his previous marriage. So their family has just gotten way bigger. So congratulations to the both of them and their healthy baby boy, Dimitri. He's so cute. So if you haven't seen those pictures, go online and look at them. They seemed over the moon about their baby. And of course, we don't know when she's going to come back, but either way, she needs to enjoy that baby as much as she possibly can. So there's no rush for her to come back. And lastly, in the baby fever news, Sammy Guevara and Ty Conti had their baby girl, and her name is Luna Mello Guevara, and she was born on the 28th of November, and she was born 8 pounds, 8.4 pounds, and there was 24 hours of labor on Ty Mello's part. Yo. Not only are these women iconic in the ring, but they are giving birth and bringing life into the world, and just going through like the toughest of things in order to bring these children into the world. 24 hours of labor. That is a lot. That is a whole lot. But congratulations to all of these people for expanding their families and bringing more life into the world. And for all we know, these babies could grow up and want to be wrestlers, make it a generational thing, or, you know, be whatever they want to be, you know, because we can't push our dreams on them, because they have their own minds and their own consciousness. So congratulations to them and all of the babies. Babies are wonderful. They're so cute. I love children. I'm not having any right now, but I love children. So yeah. Another thing that I do want to address is to give a congratulations to the people in charge of Ashe Wrestling. Now, of course, this is a promotion that's headed up by Darius Lockhart, the Revolutionary, whom you may have seen on the Indies and on NWA previously. He took a break for a little while, but now he's back into professional wrestling, because he did make that announcement at this event in North Carolina, which is where he's from. And this was an amazing event that highlighted Black talent, Black wrestling talent in particular. And their main event was Aja Kong versus Trish Adora. And I believe that is absolutely fantastic. So big ups to them. Like, I wish there was, I could have made time to have him on my show, but I probably still can. But I just wanted to, you know, share some space to talk about this as a Black content creator in wrestling, because I feel like events like this are so important, and promotions headed up by people of color and Black people are so important as well. And even though I couldn't make it this time, I am hoping that at some point I will be able to make it to the next one, because they had the likes of Big Swole there, Jonathan Gresham, Darius Carter, Kiara Hogan, like everybody who was anybody, Faye Jackson was all there, and it looked like a very amazing event. So I just wanted to share this space to congratulate them on having such an amazing show, and I hope it's something that can continue to innovate and, you know, give a highlight and a platform to Black wrestlers of all kinds. So big ups to Ashe Wrestling. And lastly, with news and gossipish, we have the astounding news that Miss Mickey James will be having Empower 2. This blessed my soul when I saw it. I couldn't deal with it. I really couldn't deal with it. So it's officially announced that Mickey James will be having another all-female event like Empower that she had with the NWA in 2021, but it's going to be in Australia during Starcast weekend, which is basically like a convention, like a Comic-Con, but not really a Comic-Con for wrestling. And since it's going to be in Australia and wrestling is having its moment there in that country / continent, she's going to move Empower there as well. And when I tell you that announcement blessed my soul, it really blessed my soul, because Empower was the place where I participated in a wrestling media junket for the very first time, under Women's Wrestling Talk when I was with them at the time. And I was so honored to be in that space and so honored to share in amazing matches such as Deonna Purrazzo versus Melina, and such as that Invitational Cup that they had that Chelsea Green won, but it was sort of like a breakout moment for Tootie Lynn Ramsey, who was from the St. Louis area. I was so proud to see people like Masha Slamovich and Legit Layla Hirsch have their moment there, and the Hex win the NWA Women's Tag Team titles there. Like, I was so honored to see stuff like that, and I still remember that to this day, and just feeling empowered, no pun intended, from seeing all the women, you know, in so many roles there, you know, producing, being camera women, refereeing, all of the things. And all I have ever wanted was for Mickey James to have a second one or a third one or a fourth one. And the idea that certain people didn't value it, you know, the way that other people, you know, in the audience did, was really heartbreaking. Like, you've had people saying that, oh, well, we're not sure the talent is there to have a second or a third one. That's BS, because clearly there is talent all across the board when it comes to women's wrestling. And there were women who would have been more than willing to participate in it. And the idea that that excuse was given really just angered me. So I am so happy and over the moon that Mickey James is doing this again, even though it's in Australia and that's really far. But if I have to forego one trip to go to that, then I won't mind doing that, because it's Mickey James and it's for women's wrestling. And I love women's wrestling more than anything. So Empower 2 is absolutely happening. And I am so, so, so thrilled about that. And yeah, I just had to share some space to talk about that in news and gossipish. So now we have come to the end of that segment. So now we've come to the special segment where I'm going to talk about my time at Survivor Series and talk about how I felt about all of the matches, because I don't want to just talk about the CM Punk of it all and then just act like nothing else happened and like all the people didn't work hard in Survivor Series. So, of course, like I mentioned in episodes previous, I was able to participate as media for the very first time at Survivor Series. I was so blessed to be to have been given that opportunity. And I did take some pictures and post some videos from it after the fact because I was trying to do it during the event, but the Wi-Fi was not Wi-Fiing there. So I had to wait until later to post my pictures and videos, but I was so happy to be there. So this is where I'm just going to talk about how I felt about the event as a whole. So JD is in the comments and he's saying complete BS. It's not 1993 anymore where your roster has four solid female workers. The women have caught up and even surpassed in areas. RE talent roster, not that deep. Period. I absolutely agree with you. So yeah. He's also saying, I thought the women's SummerSlam, well, not SummerSlam, the women's Survivor Series match was better than the men's. Yeah, I'm about to get into that. I really enjoyed the women's match because, of course, there was so much storyline gathered within it because, of course, you had Team Bianca with Bianca, Charlotte, Shotzi, and Becky Lynch going up against Damage Control. And it was a pretty amazing bout. Like, watching these women go back and forth and utilize all the weapons that they did was just pretty insane for the most part. And I loved how Kairi Sane basically did her pirate thing and skipped to the ring and just brought out like a trash can top and was slamming people in the head with it. Like, she slapped the crap out of Shotzi with that trash can lid. And I was just like, oh, it was just really bad. Then on top of that, to see Damage Control also tie up Team Bianca with chains and then give them like a drop kick from the top rope was pretty insane as well. But Charlotte, like, the two most impressive parts of this match was Io Sky being Mrs. War Games and dumping herself off of the cage while wearing the trash can. Like, that was pretty fantastic to watch live because every other time I've seen her do it, it's always been on TV. So to be able to see that happen live was just really insane. And then I loved watching Charlotte do her beautiful moonsault off of the cage as well. Something that I do look forward to seeing is Charlotte versus Tiffany Stratton, so I can see who has the better moonsault out of the both of them. That is something that I am definitely looking forward to. And of course, Bianca had an impressive spot where she actually suplexed Kairi and I believe it was Kairi and Asuka. Like, I really feel like she suplexed the both of them, like, and with both of her arms, and she was fighting the match with two of her braids and not just one. So it was just a really fantastic match, and Team Bianca won. And I thought that was going to be it for their feud against Damage Control. But of course, when I get to SmackDown, I will talk about that. But this match was absolutely fantastic. I loved it. And I also love the layer of storytelling that they told with Bayley taking a lot of the punishment in the last parts of the match and then eating a manhandle slam into the table for the 1-2-3 and how she was protecting every member of Damage Control, but no member of Damage Control was helping her. That was a layer of storytelling that I really did enjoy while watching it. So all in all, the women's War Games match was fantastic. And JD in the comments is saying 100%. I typically think Flair's moonsault isn't any good, but that was money. I actually love her moonsaults. But I am definitely a big fan of her corkscrew moonsaults that she used to do. Like, those were iconic. Like, those were the most iconic to me, and they just looked fantastic doing it. So I just really love this match. I love this match a whole lot. And in talking more about, you know, the women's matches, I wasn't able to get like great pictures of Rhea versus Zoe, but this match was pretty good to look at live. And I felt like really the greatest part of this was just being able to see Rhea Ripley. Now, I've seen Rhea Ripley live before, like on Monday Night Raw and stuff like this year, but just seeing her and how she's grown as a star, as a member of, well, basically the leader of Judgment Day and as the Women's World Champion has just been astounding. And I just loved her hairstyle and her gear here, like with the chaps and everything. Like, she's just beautiful and she knows it. Like, She just has the vibe of, I know I'm beautiful, and I also know that I will destroy you. And that is just something that just never gets old, you know, in seeing from her. Like, she's just gorgeous, and her shoulders and her back and all of the above. Like, she just gives goddess energy. And I'm just like, yo, I just couldn't stop staring at her throughout the entire match. But she was pretty dominant throughout it, but Zoe Stark did a pretty good job too, reversing a lot of her moves that we know her for. Like, it was a couple of times where I thought she was going to hit the Riptide on Zoe, but Zoe reversed it, you know, and blocked it off. And I thought that was really good. She is really a strategic wrestler that deserves a whole lot more. And I'm going to get more into that when I talk about what I enjoyed in wrestling this week. But I did enjoy this match, but it was sort of a foregone conclusion that Rhea was going to retain, because her star is just rising and she's just held on to gold since April. And I just don't think they're really ready to let her let loose of gold just yet. So I kind of felt that Rhea was going to win regardless, but this match was pretty good. Eric, thank you for watching on YouTube. He's saying, great match for the ladies, even though it was overshadowed by the men in Orton and Punk's return. I don't necessarily think the women's match was overshadowed by the men and Randy Orton. I felt like Orton's moment had the moment it was supposed to have. Because for someone who had been gone for a year and a half, I really felt the way that they, you know, highlighted him in coming in after Rhea was doing her thing with the fake cash-in thing. I felt like he had his moment. The men's match as a whole collectively had its moment. And then Punk had his moment. And I feel like our reactions to Punk coming back sort of overshadowed not everything, but sort of the men's match. But, you know, I appreciate your input in that. And then JD is saying 2023 is Rhea Ripley. It literally is. Number one on the PWI women's, you know, 250 now. Like, this has definitely been her year. So I was happy, you know, to see her live and to see her, you know, be a part of the show throughout. Not just in her match. It was just, it's always amazing to see her. And she really has risen to, you know, cast her own shadow now. And she's just done a lot for someone who is as young as she is, because she's not even 30 yet. And she's already made so much history. So yeah, it was great to see her. And I just loved the way she looked at Survivor Series and the way she performed as well. So this was a good match, but I just kind of knew she was going to win. No shade to Zoe though, because she did do a good job. Before I finish talking about that, though, I wish Zoe Stark had, I guess, fancier gear, but I guess it did fit the mold of War Games. You know, she looked like she was about to go in and fight a war, like she was going to go on a battlefield. So I get it. But I don't know. I just felt like maybe more could have been done with her gear. But moving on. The first picture was from Dragon Lee's entrance. And let me just say, I am not a photographer. I am not a photographer, guys. I am so sorry, because you see more people than you see Dragon Lee. That's why I have the picture of Santos and Dragon Lee right there. This match was amazing to witness, because Santos was always one of my early favorites in NXT from the Cruiserweight championship tournament that they did, all the way to him revealing himself to be Santos and starting Legado, and up until now. Like, he's just a really big favorite of mine, and so watching him turn heel has been really dastardly, but it's really good, because I almost feel like him as a face was okay, but it wasn't really hitting the way that it used to hit when he was a heel with Legado del Fantasma in NXT. So I'm sort of glad that he's blazing this trail as a heel and being mad disrespectful, because it's giving what it's supposed to give for him. Like, I feel like he's really operating the way he's supposed to operate here in his heel bag. I like it. And him and Dragon Lee was an amazing match, even though I did predict on my predictions episode that it was going to be him versus Carlito. Of course, he attacked Carlito and he wasn't able to perform, so Dragon Lee took his place. It was a good place, you know, for Dragon Lee to start. Like, this was his very first pay-per-view, and he performed incredibly well. This was very entertaining. I loved every inch of this match. And Santos wound up winning. And he didn't even cheat to win either. Like, that was just really, you know, insane. Like, I love lucha wrestling. So watching these two operate in their lucha bag was just amazing. Like, I just lived for it. I loved it so, so much. So yeah, this match was really great, but I'm really sorry about that first picture. it's I'm not a photographer, guys. I really do my best. But yeah, I enjoyed that match a lot. And I definitely enjoyed Gunther versus The Miz. This was a match I kind of just wanted to sit and watch. I didn't really take a lot of pictures of this one because I really just wanted to see how this one was going to go from a performance aspect. And when I say The Miz definitely gave Gunther more than he was expecting, he really did. And that's something that The Miz has sort of been doing like his entire career, but definitely more so now, because a lot of people just don't be wanting to give The Miz credit for how good he is in the ring, because he's just not, you know, he didn't come from the same background that a lot of other wrestlers came from. And I feel like it's time now that we start giving him his flowers to see what type to, you know, in terms of what type of wrestler he is. He's very adaptable, and he was definitely able to adapt to somebody like Gunther, who is very powerful, strength wise and technical wise too. Like, it was easy to believe that Gunther was going to win because he isn't ready to let go of the IC title because of the record that he has now. But at the same time, you also believe that The Miz had a lot to prove here, because he was a part of the reason why the IC title is, you know, means so much in the modern era, you know, because he's won that title 8 times. So he wanted to prove that he could definitely beat up somebody like Gunther. And he did. He even had a figure four leg lock on him, which was fantastic. But Gunther wound up winning and submitting him and making him tap out. So Gunther is still the IC champion, and The Miz has nothing to be ashamed of here. And of course, this isn't over, because on Monday Night Raw, he did mention that he wants a rematch. So we might see them fight each other again. And I'm definitely okay with it. Watching this live was really fantastic, and I really appreciated it. So I loved it. I really loved this match. It was great. The Miz did a phenomenal job. But Gunther is Gunther, and the mat is sacred. And this is his time. So yeah, that's where we were with that. And of course, I would be remiss if I did not mention the return of R-Truth. I did not know he was injured until it was announced. And I was watching that episode of NXT where he got injured. Like, I did not know at all that he got injured until it was announced. And I was like, God dang. And he was out for a long time. And I was just like, bro, when is R-Truth coming back? And he had a couple of side quests in the midst of him, you know, coming back. He had, you know, a couple of rap songs thrown in there, you know, doing stuff on TikTok and stuff like that. So a part of me was like, bro, when is he gonna come back? The way that I did not expect him to come back as Survivor Series, like, because of course after the women's match, the match was sponsored by Ruffles chips, and there was a whole thing backstage with the Alpha Academy and Pretty Deadly fighting over the chips. And I believe this was cheddar and sour cream chips, if I'm not mistaken, and they were all fighting over the chips. And then the next thing you know, you turn around and boom, you see R-Truth. And I screamed, and a lot of other people screamed too. I was like, oh my god, it's R-Truth. I was so happy to see him. He is our favorite goofball, and just seeing him just brings a smile to your face every time you see him. Like, even though he be saying stuff that you know don't be making sense in the moment, you still, you know, accept it. He's just kind of like the crazy uncle of the WWE at this point. But we love him so very much, and I'm so happy he's back. There was even a video of him dancing and doing the up-down hand movements to Jey Uso's theme song when he was making his entrance for the War Games match. So he's back and better than ever, and I was so happy to see him. JD is saying, R-Truth, one of the most underrated wrestlers of all time. Him and his old partner Goldust / Dustin Rhodes are two stars that are often left out of conversations about greats. R-Truth and Dustin Rhodes have done everything Vince has ever asked for. You are absolutely right about that. And when I tell you, I would love it if R-Truth had another opportunity at like the WWE Championship or the World Heavyweight Championship or even the IC title, I would be very happy with that. because he is such a good wrestler and he moves like he hasn't aged. Like, if you look at pictures of him from back in the day and pictures of him now, he clearly has not aged. And even though, you know, he was out with an injury, that was like the first injury he had been out with in so long. Like, he is very consistent with how he performs. So somebody like him definitely deserves like one more big title run before they decide to call it quits. He's definitely a future Hall of Famer. And it's just like a long time ago before he even got to WWE, he was very dominant in other promotions like TNA and like NWA. Like, he had won championships before and even made history as a Black champion. So the idea that he really hasn't gotten his full just due in WWE is crazy. So I would love it if he was able, you know, to have another big run at a substantial title. Because, of course, he is a former 24/7, 7-Eleven European champion and all the things. But we need for him to have a substantial title run before he decides to retire. Justice for R-Truth, guys. Justice for R-Truth. And of course, we have the return of Randy Orton. Now, this was low-key scary because throughout the night, they were showing different clips with Team Cody talking about how, you know, they were unsure if he was going to show up and talking about like, oh my God, is he coming? Is he coming? And because Randy wasn't there yet until the end of the show, everybody in the Allstate Arena were kept chanting, CM Punk, CM Punk, CM Punk is going to be the man. He's going to be the man. And because nobody knew what was going to happen, every time people started a CM Punk chant, there was a sea of people booing, like, boo, boo, CM Punk, boo. And so everybody was like, bro, like, is Randy even coming? Like, even I was freaking out. I was like, bro, is Randy really coming? Like, are y'all just playing with us? What's going on? But of course, Randy came just when Rhea Ripley shockingly ran out there with the Money in the Bank briefcase, because of course Seth Rollins was the first person to go in for Team Cody in the War Games match and he had been beaten down. So I guess Rhea decided that this was going to be a perfect time for Damian to cash in Money in the Bank and win the title, right? But Randy said, no ma'am, this is not how this is going to work. And he came and the War Games match officially got started. And when he got in there, it was absolutely fantastic. He RKO'd Dominic. He gave that amazing DDT through the ropes that he always does. And he even had the entirety of Team Cody do it along with him. It was just amazing. Like Michael Cole says, it was vintage Orton. And it was amazing to see that and to see him, you know, doing better. Because he was out for a long time with back issues and he was recovering from his surgery and whatnot, and nobody really knew exactly when he was going to come back. And even Jey Uso, who was worried about, you know, his alliance with Randy Orton, he actually, you know, kicked Damian Priest in the face for Randy Orton, because Randy was definitely gunning for the bloodline, but Jey Uso let him know, like, look, this ain't got nothing to do with me. You aren't on my side. We're cool. And so that was just really amazing, you know, to see Randy operating with everyone. And then for Randy to give Cody Rhodes that moment towards the end when he gave the crossroads I think it was either JD McDonagh or Finn Balor. I can't really remember right now. But to see him give that moment to his legacy member was just fantastic. Like, it was just so nice from a throwback standpoint. So Team Cody definitely wound up getting the win and they definitely deserved it. And Sami Zayn did an amazing job too. Everybody did great. Like, this match was fantastic. I would actually venture to say that I enjoyed both women and men's matches. It was really, really good. Like, the entire pay-per-view was amazing. And JD in the comments is saying Randy has always maintained a great physique, but he looks better than ever. Yes, like his abs, that's something else I noticed. His abs were abbing. Like, I have never had a crush on Randy Orton in my entire life. like ever, because he was always a villain and I just didn't like that. But his abs were definitely abbing. He's definitely been in the gym getting better and stuff like that. Like, he has been maintaining himself relatively well. So it was great to see that. And a lot of other women have been enjoying that as well. So it was really amazing to see Randy Orton stage his comeback in such a beautiful way, with the more modern roster now. So it was great. The entire pay-per-view was great. I enjoyed myself. And then of course you had the CM Punk of it all, which just set everything off. So yeah, I loved my time at Survivor Series. It was such a blessing to be there. And hopefully, and this was like my second big four pay-per-view that I've ever been to. Cause of course I've been to WrestleMania twice. And I've been to a Survivor Series now, so I can cross that off the list. So now I just got to make it to a Royal Rumble and then make it to a SummerSlam at some point. So yeah, who knows what's going to happen in the future, but I really did enjoy it. Oh, JD has a question. Could you hear after CM Punk came out, the pop sounded huge on TV? Yes, I could hear. I really did. Like, you're the second person to ask me that. I could hear after hearing the pop, because yeah, my hearing, I did not sustain hearing loss. I was screaming along with everybody, even though I probably should not have, because I was there as media, but I was just in such shock that I just could not deal with it. Like, I couldn't deal. And yes, I could hear, because afterward I was able to have conversations with people, you know, afterwards. So my hearing was definitely sustained after that. So thank you for asking about my ears, but I'm fine. I'm fine. My body is fine. Everything's good. But I loved being there with the crowd in Chicago. I loved seeing how passionate they were about being there. You know, they're a passionate crowd when it comes to wrestling anyway. So when I knew, when like if anything happened with Punk, like I knew they were going to be here for it. So their passion was just palpable even while leaving the arena. Like, they were just so happy and so ecstatic and stuff. And it was just really good to be around that type of energy. So big ups to the crowd in Chicago / Rosemont, because I know the Allstate Arena is in Rosemont, not Chicago. I really loved being around you guys, you know, meeting some of you guys, talking to some of y'all. Like, y'all were amped up and I loved it. So yeah, it was really great. And hopefully down the road, I will go to more big four pay-per-views. But yeah, I got two crossed off the list. So that's the end of this special segment where I talked about my time at Survivor Series outside of the Punk of it all. And now we're going to go into what I liked in wrestling this week, which was a whole lot. But yeah, I did forget to mention one part of my Survivor Series experience, and I'm losing control, so bear with me for a second. I definitely enjoyed this part. I did talk about it, but I just forgot to show the picture. But I just really love this part. So now we're going to move into what I enjoyed in wrestling this week. Now, of course, Randy Orton started off the show. And this was different because I really thought maybe they would start with CM Punk at the beginning, because they knew that we were going to watch for him to see what he had to say. But they fooled us. They okey-doked us. But it's okay, though. they okey-doked us. And Randy Orton was the first person to come out. And they had Monday Night Raw in Nashville, Tennessee, which means that my salt shaker, Nikki Bougie, was there. Shout out to her at the Bridgestone Arena. She was there in attendance and she enjoyed herself. And yeah, like, they were in Tennessee. And I would have thought maybe they would have kept it in Chicago. But no, they're traveling. So they went to Nashville. And this was one of my favorite parts of Raw, because Randy Orton was talking about how he just loved being back and how he loved staging his comeback and everything at Survivor Series and beating up the Judgment Day and stuff. But then out pops Rhea Ripley, getting in men's business again. And she confronted him and said, look, the Judgment Day has your number. We didn't like that you came back and ruined the opportunity for Damian. You just need to stay out of our way, because even though you've been gone, the Judgment Day runs Monday Night Raw. Y'all know how she be. And Randy said, look, I have been watching the product in my absence. And I do know that everybody has been talking about mommy this and mommy that, and what's mommy gonna do here, what's mommy gonna do there. But guess what? Daddy's back. And everybody popped super hard, and everybody loved it so much that they even turned it into a t-shirt, because of course, if you call yourself daddy in WWE, you're destined to get a shirt. Shout out to Roman Reigns, because he has one too. But yeah, like, a lot of people were really gunning for these two to have an interaction, because over the past year, we've seen Rhea Ripley get involved in men's matches multiple times, hitting the men, spearing the men, you know, helping the Judgment Day and their bidding for titles and stuff like that. So a lot of people have been really gunning for Randy Orton to give her an RKO because of his past in giving RKOs to women who either did or did not deserve it, but mostly did not deserve it. Yeah. So everybody's been waiting for that. Everybody has been chomping at the bit for it. But with the way that things went on SmackDown, it's low-key looking like maybe it won't happen, because the Judgment Day is primarily on Raw and Randy's on SmackDown now, so who knows how that's gonna go. But either way, she always somehow gets involved in men's business, and a lot of people have definitely been gunning for these two to have an interaction where he does RKO her, but it just hasn't happened yet. And a lot of people thought it would have happened Monday, but it didn't. But their interaction was still entertaining nonetheless, so I still enjoyed it, and maybe down the road we would get an interaction in that. Maybe she'll enter herself in the Royal Rumble for the men, who knows. But yeah, this was interesting. JD is saying Ripley looking like the Crow movie. I see it, and the coat and everything, that was cute. Yeah, she really did, you know, have a look going. Now, there is something that I didn't like on Monday Night Raw, and I have to address this as clearly as I can. Having Zoe Stark lose to Nia Jax after she lost to Rhea Ripley at Survivor Series wasn't a good move for me. I didn't like that at all. I was like, yo, so you gonna embarrass her, number one, by having her lose to Nia Jax on Raw after she just lost to Rhea? Like, a part of me would have, you know, tried to, I guess, sort of build a redemption arc for Zoe. Now, mind you, I'm not a writer in terms of television. Of course, I am a writer, but I'm not a television writer. So I don't know what direction they're going to go in. But I just did not like the idea that Zoe lost to Nia Jax, you know, after having lost to Rhea Ripley. Like, she looked like she was really ready to fight Nia backstage when she was confronted by her, you know, because she had lost and Nia was just rubbing salt in the wound. So I'm just like, okay, if Nia is playing the bully, then I'm gonna need for Zoe to actually stand up for herself and be her butt. But that didn't happen, and I was mad devastated by that. And I'm just like, man, I hated that. I was really, really sad about that. Like, Zoe had such a good showing in her match against Rhea. So the idea of her losing to Nia, even though I get Nia is back and she's trying to be this dominant force or whatever, it's like Nia has been this dominant force, but she hasn't fully challenged Rhea one-on-one just yet. So why, and Zoe has. So why is it that we're having Zoe lose to Nia? Like, that just sucked. I just did not like that. It just made me feel some type of way. But, you know, they don't care about our feelings. JD is saying, you're right. That is an off booking choice. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. But I just know I did not like it that much. But hopefully, you know, they'll be better for Zoe Stark down the road. Something else that I did like was the match between Natty and Tegan Nox versus Chelsea Green and Piper Niven for the women's tag team titles. This was a pretty good match. I find that it's not that often that we get to see Chelsea Green really fully show off a lot of her wrestling powers, because she is so good at the character work, and I definitely get that. But anytime she is, you know, or has the opportunity to fully wrestle, I do enjoy it. And Tegan Nox, you know, for all intents and purposes, has been having an amazing run. Now that she's back from her injury and then from her, you know, having her NXT run at the NXT Women's Title with Becky and stuff. Like, she's been doing really great stuff, and her and Natty have been doing an amazing job as a tag team. But sadly, they didn't come out with the win, and Chelsea and Piper are still the women's tag team titles. But what I will say is this: I am gonna need for Team KC Squared to stage a comeback. I need Kayden Carter and Katana Chance to really pop off this year and win those women's tag team titles. Because as much as I love that the other women are being utilized in the tag division, I'm just going to need for us to stop playing around as if Team KC Squared are not the best all-around operational tag team on the Raw roster, if not on the entire roster as a whole. Let's stop playing now. These two women, even though I know one of them was injured at one point and now they're back, these two women are like one of the greatest tag team champions of all time when it comes to their work in NXT. They're best friends and they're really cute and stuff. So it's just like, you know, even their gimmick as party girls, like that's something that you could utilize on television and make it interesting. So the idea that these women have not been in full title contention since they've been brought up to the main roster is just a shame. It's like, you've seen the acrobatic stuff that these women can do in the ring in their tag team matches. How come they are not women tag team champions right now? Like, I'm just irritated. Like, these women definitely deserve a run with the women's tag team titles. They just do. And mind you, I understand that there's this whole possible notion of women's tag teams, you know, or just tag teams as a whole being pushed that are single stars, but then you slam them together to create a team. But we also have to understand that gold is where gold is. And Team KC Squared is gold. And we need to utilize that as best as we can and not mishandle them. They are so talented. They are super, super talented. Utilize them and put them in the tag title picture. Hopefully their match on Monday will help my case. But seriously, if you've seen these women wrestle before, you know exactly what I'm talking about. They definitely deserve to be champions. And that's that on it. And then another part of Raw that I liked was the fact that Cody Rhodes claimed his intentions for starting to finish the story. And he declared himself for the 2024 Men's Royal Rumble. Now, of course, last year he wound up winning the Royal Rumble and went on to WrestleMania to face Roman Reigns for the Undisputed titles that his father never won. And he sadly lost, which I saw happen, and it broke my heart. And I don't want to get into it again right now because I'll go back to a dark place. But he is trying to recover himself in order to finish the story. And I'm glad that he is doing that by entering himself in the Royal Rumble, and him being the first person to declare is a good sign. So I do love that for him. But he did get attacked by Shinsuke Nakamura by having mist spit in his face. So now that's going to be his next great feud, and I'm okay with that. But yeah. I just want Cody to finish the story, even though a lot of people are saying that they feel like he won't, because you have CM Punk now and you got Jay, you got all these other people who could. It needs to be Cody. It has to be Cody Rhodes. It can't be anybody else. It has to be Cody. And that's all I have to say about that. It has to be Cody. He has to get his lick back at WrestleMania next year. And whether I'm there to see it or not, it just has to happen. It just has to happen. I'm going to hold on to that hope for as long as I can. So, yeah, Cody Rhodes declaring for the Royal Rumble was something that I did love. And then I also love the Creed brothers qualifying to become number one contenders for the Undisputed Tag Team titles in that gauntlet match that they had. And I was definitely surprised that DIY didn't necessarily win either. But DIY, The New Day, and the Creed brothers were among my favorites to win the gauntlet match. And I would have really loved it if it was The New Day, because they've sort of been on the struggle bus lately after their big feud with Viking Raiders. But either way, the Creed brothers have been on fire since they've made their Raw debut and they've come up from NXT. And I'm definitely okay with them, you know, battling back and everything. The only thing that I hate about them getting ready to fight the Judgment Day is the fact that when you're fighting the Judgment Day, you're not just fighting Finn and Damian. You're also fighting Dom. You're also fighting Rhea, and you're also fighting JD. And that just doesn't feel fair to top-notch athletes like the Creed brothers. Like, Julius and Brutus are fantastic, and I believe they deserve a fair shake. But it's just that when it comes to the Judgment Day, you'll never get a fair shake. And it sucks. But either way, they're going to have a fantastic job. And these, and for better or for worse, these young men get to say that they get to fight top-notch talent like Finn Balor, international talent like Finn Balor and Damian Priest. That's an accomplishment in and of itself, whether they win or lose. So I do love that for them. And I do want to see Ivy Nile wrestle more. So yeah, Diamond Mine is forever. And I love it. I absolutely love their success. So it's cool. And I believe that's all I love from Raw. So now to move into NXT, I loved the KJ versus KJ match. Of course, that's Kalani Jordan versus Kiana James as they fought to qualify for the Iron Survivor Challenge match. This match was really good. You can definitely see how much better. Not to say that Kalani Jordan was not good at all. She was always good. But you see that she's definitely been working in the lab and getting much, much, much better in ring and combining her gymnastics background with her wrestling. She is a fantastic talent, and I just love watching her blossom. And Kiana James was already good, but she's definitely locking in more too. So these two did a phenomenal job in their match. And plus, Black women! Yes, I love seeing Black women succeed in wrestling. So this was just a fantastic bout to watch. And I love that Kalani Jordan won, because ever since she lost the women's breakout tournament to Lola Vice, I was just like, okay, you lost your partner in Dana Brooke due to her being released. You lost the breakout tournament. I need for her to win something. And I'm so happy she won this. And now she gets to participate in Iron Survivor. And they have one more spot to fill in both men's and women's matches. So Kiana does get another opportunity, even though Roxanne Perez messed up the opportunity for her, because her and Kiana have this back and forth beef that's been going on since before Halloween. I really love it. They did get into a brawl backstage too. But yeah, like, I really love everything that the NXT women have going on. And so far, of course, we have Kalani Jordan, Lash Legend, and Tiffany Stratton and Blair Davenport in the women's Iron Survivor match. And like I said, there's one more spot to fill because they are having last chance matches this coming week. So I am happy about that. But either way, this match was Black Girl Magic, and I just really love that for them. So big ups to KJ versus KJ. And yeah, like I mentioned before, Roxanne Perez seems to have gotten a little bit more of an edge lately. Now, of course, she is a baby face, but at the same time, to see her, you know, get this edge against someone who is as dastardly as Kiana James has been really enjoyable for me. And they did get into a brawl backstage that, funny enough, Jada Parker was just watching from backstage and watching them fight and just like, yeah, get her, get her. It was just really funny and very authentic. I enjoyed that. If you know, you know. And then they even got into a brawl in the parking lot, because the NXT parking lot is the most dangerous place in all of wrestling. So that was fantastic. So the women, like I always say on NXT, never miss. They never miss at all. And this was definitely a part of it. So boom, that was cool. And then we got to see Nikita Lyons on NXT TV for the first time in a while. Beforehand, they showed a clip of her, you know, doing her kickboxing thing and rehabbing her knee, because she did have a torn ACL and she was out for like a year after her debut. So it was good to see her on television, you know, sitting with the audience and watching the women's match between Kalani and Kiana. And I do miss her, even though, you know, a lot of people have their feelings about her for different reasons, which I respect. I do miss her as a talent, and she is a friend of the pod as well as her mother. So I am hoping that when she does come back, you know, she will be as dominant as we know her to be. Like, seriously, like, I love Nikita Lyons and I just want her back. So it was good to see her. Now, another curious case that I do want to mention when it comes to the NXT women is Ava Raine. Now, Ava was the one who, before the backstage brawl happened, who told Roxanne that there was going to be a last chance match for Kiana to get in the Iron Survivor thing. But really, since then, and since the breakup of the schism, we haven't really seen her that much outside of backstage stuff and outside of her walking into Shawn Michaels' office. And then there was that one little clip that they did show of her possibly being recruited for the Bloodline with Paul Heyman. And I thought that was very interesting. So a part of me kind of wonders, like, what are they going to do with Ava Rain now that she's not a part of a giant tree? She's not a part of a faction. She's not really wrestling on TV all that much. What's going to happen with her? Outside of the fact that she's, you know, The Rock and Danny Garcia's daughter, which is fantastic, I would actually be okay with her joining the Bloodline, because they probably do need another member considering Jey Uso is no longer with them. And I am definitely an advocate for more female representation with the Bloodline, considering Tamina isn't active on the roster anymore. So if they need like a younger woman to fill that void, Ava Rain is definitely a good option for that. So if y'all gonna call her up to be on the Bloodline the same way y'all call Solo up, get it done expeditiously. Right now, get it done now, because I feel like it would just be amazing. So I just like that idea. I just need Ava Rain to be in the swing of things, because she is an interesting character and she just needs to be given some meat to bite into. Give her something. So yeah, I just want her to be utilized. But you know, that's just how I feel about that. Now, when it comes to the men of NXT, Lexus King, aka Brian Pillman Jr. I like him and his dastardly character, and I like his in-ring work, but what I don't like is him getting in the business of Trick and Mello Gang. I feel like he's just being so messy. Like, the way he got in the middle of that is just really insane to me. But at the same time, it does put a different wrinkle in things, because on NXT this past Tuesday, they did show him running towards Trick Williams as Trick was celebrating his win. Well, not his win, but just him getting put in the Fatal 4-Way match to be, you know, the next person to challenge for the NXT championship. And it does kind of look like maybe he was the one who attacked Trick, but him being in the middle of it is just kind of like, bro, like, you just got here and you already in the middle of folks' mess. Why? What are you doing here? This has nothing to do with you. Leave us alone. And Trick would always tell him, look, you need to leave while grown folks talking. But I really feel like Trick wanted to say, look, you need to leave because this is Black people's business. This is Black people's business, and I need you to stay out of it. Just stay out of it, Lexus King. Like, have your little matches where, you know, you're building up momentum because, you know, you want to strike out on your own. But baby, get out of their business. Najaquin in the comments, hi, thank you for watching on YouTube, saying hashtag free Mello. Oh, we gonna get to him. Hold up, we gonna get to him since you brought him up. Look, y'all, I need y'all. I need us to hold hands together, wrestling community, and understand that as much as I love Carmelo Hayes and as much as I feel that he is the future of the wrestling business and as much as I love his drive, Carmelo attacked Trick. Carmelo Hayes attacked Trick Williams. And this promo proves it. Like, when he was backstage talking with Trick and talking about how he knew Lexus King did it based off of that footage that was released by NXT Anonymous, and he was like, nah, like, I knew he did it. Like, we need to get him. And Trick Williams was trying to be on some Michelle Obama energy. Like, when they go low, we go high type of stuff. I understand that, because I'm definitely a person who operates in going high a lot of the time until, of course, I get tired of it. Y'all seen it. But either way, Trick was like, look, we don't have to attack people from behind anymore. We don't have to, you know, beat up on folks like that anymore. We don't have to do that. We're on the top now. But then Carmella was like, look, I don't have a prize to keep my eyes on the same way that you do, Trick. He was just like, I don't have it, you know. But then Trick was trying to encourage him and tell him, look, you got this Iron Survivor last chance match coming up. You know, once you get yourself focused on that, then everything will be fine. And even when Trick was telling him, like, we don't have to do and lowball people like that anymore, Carmelo looked at him and said, we don't. What more proof do y'all need? What other proof do y'all need that Carmelo attacked Trick? I'm sorry, but when you love somebody, you have to tell the truth and hold them accountable. And because I love Carmelo, because I love Trick, I am holding Carmelo accountable. Carmelo attacked Trick, y'all. Lexus King didn't do it. Nobody else did it. Like, even though it's easy to blame Judgment Day and it could be easy to blame Dirty Dominic and stuff like that because they did have previous beef before and they had beef with Trick and stuff like that, Carmelo did it. Carmelo did it. Yeah, bet. Carmelo did it. I trust my gut. Carmelo did it. I love him down, but he did it. And when Trick finds out that Carmelo did it, it's going to be a heartbreaking time. It really is. It's going to be a heartbreaking time for them and for the NXT universe. Because like I mentioned in my article on Daily DDT, if you haven't read it, please go read it and my other work too. It's going to break our hearts because they had such amazing chemistry as a team. Like, their authentic Black friendship has been amazing to watch. But look, the writing is on the wall. Carmelo attacked Trick. Now, if I'm wrong, I will definitely say that I am wrong. I will come on here. I will apologize. I will make it right. And I will say I'm sorry. But until he is proven innocent, to me, Carmelo is guilty. I'm sorry, y'all. He did it. He did it. Because he's upset. He is toe up from the flow up that he is not the guy anymore. He is his talent. Well, not his talent, but his confidence has been ripped to shreds now. Like, he barely calls himself him anymore. He is just, he's unraveling, and he's unraveled on his best friend. Carmelo did it, guys. He did it. I'm sorry, y'all. I know y'all hate to hear that from me. But that's just the truth, and the truth will set you free. He did it. Now, moving into what I loved about SmackDown. Bianca Belair. I know I have talked many a time about how much I love the way this woman dresses, the way this woman does her hair, and everything like that. But when I tell you, let me make this screen bigger for those who are watching. Bianca ate this outfit down. This outfit with the glitter and the red was fantastic. And the shorts and everything with the red boots, with the red lip. I'm sorry. Ain't nobody dressing like her. When it comes to gear, when it comes to fashion, hair, nothing. Ain't nobody dressing like her. I'm sorry. You could say maybe Charlotte Flair is a close second because the way she be dressing down and them jumpsuits be everything too. But when I tell you Bianca gives everything that needs to be given every week in her outfits and her jewelry and everything, this outfit gave me oxygen to breathe. It gave me the strength I needed to go on. It gave me power that I didn't even know I lacked. I'm gonna need for her to release a line of clothing for the girls and also for me, specifically for me, but definitely for the girls, because her fashion choices are just a slay constantly, every time. Every dang time. And then on top of that, you know she's a star because the show started with her on SmackDown and it ended with her. Because she had the main event match against Kairi Sane on SmackDown. Like, y'all, this is Bianca time. And I'm just lucky to be in the presence of it. She is the EST in all things, and that's including fashion. Ugh. I just love her so much. This suit was giving everything. I can't. I just can't. Another thing that I do want to discuss that I didn't necessarily like, that's getting on my nerves the more I think about it, is the placement of Zelina Vega when it comes to booking or lack thereof. Now, of course, y'all know this picture because she had this beautiful moment in Puerto Rico in her match against Rhea Ripley for the SmackDown Women's title before it was made defunct. And this was a beautiful moment for her. And of course, she's had two different versions of this gear made. Like, this is probably top 10 women's gears of all time, period. Like, fantastic. But of course, since LWO is now undergoing a civil war, the only times we've seen her lately is when she's been crying over Santos attacking Rey and Santos attacking Carlito and everybody. And then she slapped Santos in the face a few weeks ago. And that was fantastic. And I enjoyed that a whole lot because she brought the drama. Okay. She gave what was supposed to be given. But my thing is, we keep seeing Zelina Vega in these dark matches. And she be in these dark tag team matches with Mia Yim going up against Alba Fire and Isla Dawn. And I am getting sick and tired of them being in dark matches. I am tired of Zelina Vega only being beat up and used for like small things on TV, and then we don't see her anymore. And we're not seeing her in-ring work continue to progress on television. I want to see my baby on TV. Because y'all know I love Zelina Vega and I love Mia Yim too. So it's just like, because for all intents and purposes, either one of them could have been on Team Bianca for Survivor Series War Games, but they decided to get Becky, and you know, that was okay for the most part. And she did a phenomenal job in that match. But considering this was dealing with the SmackDown women as a whole, I would have loved it if Zelina got in that match or Mia got in that match. Even though Mia was in it last year, it only made sense for me to have SmackDown women in it. So the idea that they weren't utilized just kind of broke my heart a little bit. I was just like, dang, y'all just skipped all the way over Mia and Zelina like they ain't nothing. Like, I literally hated that. So the fact that we keep seeing them in dark matches and not on television, it's just irritated me a lot. And then the fact that AJ Styles isn't on TV, you know, the OC isn't on television. What are we doing with Mia? Mia is like mad talented. Like, she is absolutely talented. She's fantastic. How come we're not seeing them on TV? And the same thing could also be said about Alba Fire and Isla Dawn. You showed those different vignettes for them being mystical beings cursing the tag titles, but yet we haven't seen them challenge for the titles yet. What's happening? Like, what is happening? I literally feel that one of the best ways that can be solved, that this can be solved with the other women, you know, who aren't in bigger or major things or something like that, is if there is a mid-card title. Because the idea that these women are being utilized in dark matches constantly but not being put on television is a problem for me. And then on top of that, it just doesn't make any sense for somebody who carried a lot of the momentum, you know, when it went to Backlash, having that moment in Puerto Rico. It's like that, and then LWO sort of breaking off and having a civil war is the only times we see her on television. It's just not fair. Zelina is so talented. There is so much more that she could be doing. She is not just someone that you use for award shows or someone that you just use for video game stuff or for Comic Cons and stuff like that. This woman is a treasure. And she deserves to be utilized as such. Don't just utilize her, you know, to take advantage of your publicity stunts for different things, you know, like 9/11 and all that other stuff. Put this woman on television and in the ring. Put her in. I literally feel like there's no excuse. There's no excuse. And that's a little bit all I have to say about that in terms of that. But I just had to get that off my chest real quick. Another thing that I loved about the women, though, is the continuing of this slow burn storyline with Bailey and Damage Control. Because like I said earlier, when it came to Survivor Series, she took a lot of bullets for Damage Control, and they didn't necessarily do the same thing for her. When it came to all of Damage Control confronting Bianca on SmackDown, they all went out there and didn't tell Bailey what was going on. Bailey didn't know what happened until they came back from outside. And she was like, y'all didn't tell me y'all were going out there. And Dakota tried to like sweep it under the rug and make it okay. And she was trying to like wish Kyrie good luck in her match against Bianca towards the end of the show. And even Io told her, stay back here while we go out there. And I was like, ooh, that must really hurt to be the one who created Damage Control. And now you as the creator is getting pushed out. That is in-freaking-sane. That is so insane to think about. But the thing that I think is happening is the fact that EO low-key felt that Bailey was being controlling a lot of the time and always speaking up for them and making matches for them and all of the above. So now I feel like now that Kyrie is back and now that Asuka has joined the fold, and she's friends with Dakota already, I feel like they're empowering her to have her own voice and putting the battery in her pack to understand the battery in her back to understand that she doesn't need anybody to really speak for her in that way. And now this is resulting in Bailey being pushed out. And it's insane to see because I never thought that we would ever see a face Bailey again, but it's low key looking like that this is what we're going to get. And it's crazy. And this is going to make the battlefield for the women's championship more complicated because you got Bianca still gunning for it. I'm more than sure Charlotte is going to gun for it at some point. And then you'll have Bailey in there too. Women's wrestling candy. We're about to eat. But either way, it's going to be fantastic. I love this. I love this story. I'm really happy about it. Something else that I love moving into the men of SmackDown is the constant back and forth between Nick Aldis, the SmackDown general manager, and Adam Pearce, the Raw general manager. Their back and forth is giving me 2000s realness in a way that I just never expected. I feel like wrestling as a whole, when it comes to WWE, is really giving me the 2000s again. And it's just the 2000s and the 2010s. And it's just crazy how it's happening. You got Randy Orton running around. You got John Cena, who could come back at any point. You got CM Punk back. And then you got these general managers biting at each other. And it's not even Survivor Series time. What world are we living in? And of course, on SmackDown, Nick Aldis offered Randy Orton a contract. But then Adam Pearce came and was like, look, I'm offering him a contract too. What makes you think he's just going to come over here? And Nick was just like, look, we have the bloodline. And he said he wants revenge on them. You know, what up? But then Adam was like, I offered him a match against Seth Rollins for the World Heavyweight title. Like, but I'm just like, that offer isn't necessarily good enough for somebody who wants revenge. And considering Randy Orton has been a 14-time champion, I mean, what's another belt to a king? Like, come on now. No, he's not going to do that. So these two, watching these two be catty towards each other about Randy Orton was definitely giving me Stephanie McMahon and Eric Bischoff from back in the day. It really was. It was so funny what it was giving me in that regard. And I was just like, man, we are back. We really are back, ladies and gentlemen. If these two men can give me what these two people gave me in the 2000s when it came to SmackDown trying to outdo Raw or Raw trying to outdo SmackDown, then I am here for it, baby. I am here for it. Like, I am living. And then, of course, Randy Orton went on to choose SmackDown because he wants to beat up the Bloodline, because the Bloodline came out and beat him up. And then Paul Heyman was like, look, if you know what's good for you, you need to choose Raw. You need to choose Raw because you'll be safe over there and the Bloodline won't come and get you over there and da-da-da-da-da. But we all know that that's a lie, because Jimmy Uso ruined Jey Uso's and Cody Rhodes' opportunity at the tag titles on Raw against Finn and Damian. So stop saying that. Like, why are you lying? Paul Heyman is such a liar. You are not safe wherever you go when it comes to the bloodline. So Randy was like, bet, I'm going to choose SmackDown. And then he threw away the Raw contract, and Adam Pearce was looking irritated. He was like, man. But honestly, Raw doesn't need Randy at this point. Y'all really don't. It's like, y'all got CM Punk who could pop up on either show. Y'all got Cody Rhodes. Y'all got Jey Uso. Y'all got Sami Zayn. Y'all got Drew McIntyre. You guys are fine. Y'all are literally fine. It is okay. It's blue brand supremacy over here. Like, we need the voices in our head over here on the blue brand. Eric in the comments is saying, Randy versus Roman at Royal Rumble. Book it. Hey. You never know. It could happen. It could definitely happen. And with the way that they were trying to get Randy to choose Raw or SmackDown, it was definitely giving Batista being peer pressured by Ric Flair and Triple H to choose SmackDown over Raw because they wanted him to go challenge for the WWE Championship so Triple H could keep the World Heavyweight title and he didn't have to fight him at WrestleMania 21. But they were like, yeah, you're gonna pick SmackDown. Yeah. But then Batista looked at them and, oh, I did not know that that was going to happen, y'all. Fireworks. But then Batista did a thumbs down and he was like, yeah, I'm not going to do that. I'm choosing Raw and I'm going to challenge Triple H at WrestleMania 21. And of course, he went on he went on to beat Triple H for the heavyweight title at WrestleMania 21. So that was fantastic. And that's literally what it was giving me. And I'm just like, y'all ain't got no business taking me back to my childhood like this, but I'm enjoying it a lot. So yeah, like SmackDown was pretty lit. And then on top of that, you had the announcement that Logan Paul made about the United States title tournament. And everybody and their mama's gonna be in it. You got Santos, Bobby Lashley, Dragon Lee, a returning Karrion Kross, somebody else who's been wrestling in live events, but we really haven't seen on television that much. We also have Kevin Owens, Austin Theory, and Grayson Waller, but then they did shake the table by saying that an unknown NXT star will be fighting in the tournament as well. Now, even though I did just get through lambasting him and calling him guilty for attacking his best friend, it needs to be Carmelo Hayes. Carmelo Hayes, you know, gave the argument as to why he could do it by him taking a picture at the bump with the U.S. spinner title. He versus Logan Paul would be an amazing match. Like, I think it would be great. And I just feel like he would be great for the opportunity. But of course, you never know, because it low-key looks like they're pushing towards the direction of him versus Kevin Owens. But I just feel like if you're going to get an NXT star to challenge for the U.S. title, it needs to be Carmelo Hayes. It needs to be Carmelo Hayes, okay? We're trying to get him number one on the BRP 50 next year. We're trying to make it happen. We're trying to make it happen. Give him the things, okay? Give him the things. So I'm really excited about a United States title tournament. But the idea that they are fighting in this tournament to fight against Logan Paul, of all people, is still mind-blowing in and of itself. But hey, this is where we're at, and it's interesting. So yeah, also Kevin might have been injured. I don't know what type of announcement. They made an announcement about it, but I'm not entirely sure where he was injured, but I don't know how that's going to play into him and his participation in the tournament. But either way, yeah, I hope he gets better. So yeah, that ends this episode of the Hardy Wrestling Podcast. Thank you guys so much for watching live. And of course, if you want to watch this later, this will be available on my YouTube channel. Please like, share, and subscribe. If you love this episode, tell your friends about it. If you have friends who love wrestling, or if you have friends in your life or family in your life who wants to get into wrestling, tell them to listen to the Hardy Wrestling Podcast, because this is a welcome place for everyone to listen to everything going on in wrestling and stuff. So I don't just watch WWE. I watch all of wrestling as a whole. Even though I might not have a whole lot of time to watch everything, I still see everything that goes on. So if you haven't already, tell your friends, tell your loved ones about the Hardy Wrestling Podcast. Subscribe to the YouTube channel. Like the Hardy Wrestling Podcast on Instagram at Hardy Wrestling Podcast and on Twitter/X at Hardy Wrestle Pod. And of course, follow me, your girl Stephanie Hardy, on Instagram, Twitter, and Threads at Queen Steph Hardy, where you can see everything I've got going on when it comes to wrestling and also other things that's going on in my life as well. Yeah. And also, if you want to book me, I am free for all of 2024. So if you want to book somebody to be a panelist at your comic conventions, a color commentator for your wrestling events, a host that you want to interview or talk to or whatever, I am open to it. Email me at HardyWrestlingPodcast@gmail.com or DM me at Queen Steph Hardy on Instagram and Twitter. You know, reach out to me in any way, shape, or form you possibly can, and we can get it cracking, and I can tell you know what my rates are, and we can just get it going. All right, so those are all the places that I've been previously and I've worked with previously. So just contact me. 2024 is open season for your girl Stephanie, so book your girl. And on top of that, tomorrow I will be hosting me and Katrina's show, Steph and Kat Talk WoW, of course, brought to you by the Hardy Wrestling Podcast and In Kat We Trust. This is our after show where we talk about the greatness of the hottest all women's wrestling show, WoW Women of Wrestling Superheroes, which comes on every weekend. There was a new episode this weekend, and we will be talking about it at 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central Standard Time on all of our live platforms. So if you follow In Kat We Trust, you can watch it there, or if you follow the Hardy Wrestling Podcast, you can watch it there as well, before and after the fact. So if you love women's wrestling and if you love WoW superheroes, watch our after show. We have tons of fun on there, so please check it out. And there is a playlist for any previous episode that you might have missed, so go check it out. And of course, read my new article on Daily DDT about Seth Rollins' title run and how it could possibly end at the hands of CM Punk. Because, of course, they have their beef that goes a little bit back to before CM Punk left. So, yeah, and with the way Seth Rollins was reacting to his return at Survivor Series, it's pretty safe to say that these two might cross paths. So I did write an article about it on Daily DDT. So if you have not checked it out already, please read it and check it out. I am growing in my writer's bag. So please read it as long and as well as my other articles as well. I had lots of fun writing this article, and this is my second article about men, and I'm really excited about it. So go on dailyddt.com and check it out. And of course, go on foryourwear.com and check out the latest and greatest in Hardy Wrestling Podcast merchandise. You can definitely purchase a hoodie of the Alabama Wrestling Icons t-shirt as well, with red and in the colors of red and black, and they're available in all sizes. And it celebrates the likes of Paul Bearer, Teddy Long, Sensational Sherry, Deborah Fuego del Sol, AQA, and Kayla Braxton as people who have made strides in wrestling from the great state of Alabama, which is also where I'm from. So if you want to wear an interesting piece of wrestling merchandise and trivia, buy this t-shirt in all colors and in all sizes for your friends. It's Christmas time. Buy them this t-shirt, as well as my other t-shirts, which celebrate the bloodline and Bianca and Montez's love story with the Beyontez t-shirts. So you can wear that shirt when their reality show comes out in February, and you can continue to celebrate the bold and the bloodline, the greatest wrestling storyline ever. So you can buy all of that merch at foryourwear.com, and it's available in all sizes. So of course, thank you for supporting your girl Stephanie in her wrestling career, and supporting the Hardy Wrestling Podcast as we continue to grow. This is the sixth season, and this is the third year, and next year it'll be year four. We're already coming up on the birthday of the Hardy Wrestling Podcast, and I'm really grateful for where my baby has taken me and where it will continue to go. It's been amazing this year, and I just can't wait to see what else happens. So, of course, this has been the Hardy Wrestling Podcast with your girl girl, Stephanie Hardy. And I hope you have a fantastic week and you enjoy wrestling and be the light in wrestling and not the darkness in it. But be that in your entire life as well. So until next time, bye, y'all.